Hi, everyone. Welcome back to Triplicity Pod, where your favorite humans, me, Jared, and John, chat about astrology and life and funny things. Yeah, I guess I think that's it. And we spill the tea, right? Because it's Triplicity. Yes. So. How are you both doing?
Amazing.
Yeah, great. It's a great Friday. I think we should just always record on Friday.
I like this.
I like the Venus vibe.
It is nice. It is nice compared. And well, and for me, it's like the eighth hour of the day. It's like it's probably very close to Venus hour, if not actually Venus hour.
Saturn hour is ending over
no,
here.
No, it's Venus hour here. Cute.
It's probably Saturn for me too, then, right?
Yeah, I think so.
It's probably why my hair looks so good. Behind.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, that's like the first thing I said. I was like, "Dude, you look so good."
No, it's already Jupiter hour for me, Deja.
Oh wow, so I'm the one behind.
Jupiter hour started 8 minutes ago for me.
So hurry up. You know, yeah,
it's because you're more southern than me.
But I am. I'm in New York right now, so and I didn't adjust my time nomad thing, and it does change a little bit from Philly to New York. So New York, maybe it's there, but I just don't know. I'm just going to say it is. Just
it's Jupiter hour.
Right now. Yay.
Embrace the benefics.
Yelling.
Clinging to them.
Yeah, seriously.
Yeah. What have you all been up to?
Oh, God.
I've been working.
I have my class final soon. So I am wrapping up my Vedic class, hopefully. I am manifesting every Venus prayer I've been including. I hope that I've passed this friggin' class. And I am working on my presentation for KazemiCon, which we will also be presenting at. Plug it now, I guess. KazemiCon. It's going to be a conference. It's a conference of... Yeah. I want to say more emerging astrologers because it's on Twitter through Twitter Spaces. I'm speaking Triplicity. We will be doing a live recording of the November forecast, right?
Yep.
Oh, cute.
Our bestie Jill is speaking. Cam is speaking.
Oh, I love Jill.
I love Jill too.
Jill and Cam are at the same time, so I'm really sad because I'm gonna have to pick one over the other.
Damn.
Yeah. We're very excited, so come join us. It's on October 21st and 22nd, and we'll be going on the 22nd. I think I'm doing my talk at 2, and then we are recording the podcast right after at 3.
Cute.
Amazing.
Eastern time.
That's
sweet. So yeah, come join us at KazemiCon next month.
On Twitter.
Right on your phone. It's right on your phone.
That's right.
That's fun. That's cute. At first, I was like, all right. But actually, if I sit with it and you think about it, it's actually really cute. And I'm proud of people for being like, we're doing it.
Mm-hmm.
We're doing it. Well, and I think that's great.
And yeah, never mind.
No, say it. Spill say the it. Tea. You have to say it.
Spill the tea.
I was just going to say like, but not yet, because the election hasn't happened.
No,
hasn't happened yet.
Secret.
But yeah, like John, you tweeted the other day, like we have some incredible and exciting stuff coming up for the Triplicity podcast and what we'll be doing and where we'll be and where we'll be seen. And so, you know.
We're vibing.
Hell yeah.
Keep your eyes out.
Yeah. Hell yeah. No, it's so fun. It's so fun. I'm appreciating this like, I feel like it's becoming more of like a hobby again. Like astrology feels more like it did when I first started. Not necessarily when I like first started, but like, I don't know. Yeah. Like when I first started and I was like still like learning, I feel like my curiosity has like come back and I'm like also okay with just not knowing and being like, what the fuck are you talking about? So I don't know. So it's really awesome to see like, us learning and growing together.
It feels like a revival of the Astro Twitter community that was around like pre-pandemic, or, like right at the start of the pandemic.
Yes. Yeah.
I feel 2020. Like 2021 and like the first half of this year were like really fucking weird on Astro Twitter.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But I'm 100%. Liking this renewed sense of community that is being built.
Me too.
It's very Mars and Gemini. Let's actively talk to one another.
Twitter is healing.
I'm yelling.
That's why Twitter is healing.
We've moved on. That's cute. That's good. Woof, man.
Mars are retrograde? We having our podcast Mars return?
We are.
Where's Mars and Virgo?
Because we have Virgo rising, Mars, Mercury, and Gem.
No, don't we have a Leo?
No.
Yeah, we have a... Yeah, well, for like the forecast, like at the very beginning, the first chitty chat was the Leo sun.
We have Mars, Mercury in the 10th of the chart. And we would have recorded in the afternoon of Leo season. So Virgo.
Oh, what's the...
We have Sag rising. Is that right? No.
No.
I can't do astrology.
I don't know. I don't remember what that meant. I thought Leo was the 10th. I don't remember.
I thought we put it in the 9th house. I thought sun in the 9th. Point of our show.
That's true. But I don't
We have Mars, Mercury, and Virgo in the 10th with Sag rising. Yes, because my Mars is rising in the chart. Or no, my ascendant is setting. Like my
cute.
It's that. It's like that. Yeah.
That's cute. This is so funny.
So we're having an angular Mars retro.
We're having our closing square.
Our closing square cute. Retro.
Oh, are we going to get in trouble? Are we going to have are the open enemies going to arise now? Oh my God. Are they going to people are going to come after us? This is when we get canceled. I think
we say that every episode.
We do.
Is this the episode that gets us canceled?
Yelling.
Shit. You know, if an episode does get us canceled, it would be the Mars retrograde.
Yeah.
In an angular Mars house.
In Gemini. Yeah.
Right. I don't mind it though, because I feel like the shit that we're talking about is valid. Not to be an Aquarius, but we're right. We're right. So
I've never felt that something so
hard.
Not to be an Aquarius.
It's just true. So I don't know.
Aren't wrong.
Well, Mars retrograde.
Yeah, Mars that's what we're here to talk about today.
We have gathered here today, September 16th, to talk about Mars going retrograde. It's gonna suck.
It sure is. Ooh, sorry, I just hit my pen and sorry.
Yeah. Nah. Not looking forward to it.
Initial thoughts, overall thoughts.
I mean, if I just, I don't love it. It's just, it like Mars gets close, bright, intense, and that can be good for some things. But as a pretty intensely Venusian person, that can be pretty uncomfortable. So, you know.
Yeah, on a personal level, I am not very excited. Mars is stationing basically on my ascendant, is stationing direct or retrograde on my ascendant, as I'm going through a Mars opposition. The amount of just times I've cut my hands at work already since Mars has entered shadow is insane to me.
Wow. I also have been cutting my hands a lot by accident.
Yeah,
it's more square for me. Interesting.
Mm-hmm. Hard Mars transit.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm interested to just see what happens. It stations opposite my right in between Mercury and the Sun for me. Just like right in between. So I'm just all right, well, I guess we'll see what happens. We'll see if it happens. That's what I'm going with. I'm also banking on the fact that all of the Mars, I went back and looked at all the Mars retrogrades that I've been alive for, and all the ones that I remember being really horrible, or that being a really horrible year, they were all in angular houses, whether Mars was stationing direct and then in an angular house, or retrograded back into it, or whatever. where the full retrograde was in the angular house, those were the ones that were the like the most shitty. So I'm hoping
I said, oh great.
Oh great.
Yeah, like, and I don't know. So we'll see. We'll see. The other ones were okay. They kind of just like walked by, and it was just like a redirection of energy, like redirecting my energy elsewhere. So I'm hoping that that's more so for what it is, for what more so what it is than, but we'll see. I also am like opposition to Mercury and the Sun. Let's see how this goes. Mm-hmm. But like, whatever. I don't know. I've lived through eclipses, so. I guess
I can do anything.
Right. Do you ever feel like that, though? Sorry. Do you ever feel like you like there's a particularly tough transit and you live through it and you're like, all right, actually, maybe I can do this other really horrible shit that may be coming.
Yeah. I lived through my Saturn return and eclipses on my moon Saturn stuff. And I'm like, yeah. What happened? I got furloughed. I had to move across the country. I lost my job I had been working for years. Like another you know. Another club. All the things happened, but like, I live, bitch.
But I'm still here, bitch.
Yep.
Me showing up to, you know, Saturn's door. Surprise, bitch. Bet you thought you saw the last of me.
I think what is really maybe one of the only saving graces of this Mars retrograde is that it does get that sextile from Jupiter the whole time. When does Jupiter move
into square? Jupiter. In late October, I'm pretty sure.
Of next year?
I thought you meant like this fall. You mean like in 2023?
Because we get Jupiter back into Pisces. For a little while.
Right.
So we get a square from Jupiter.
I know we get Jupiter into Pisces, but he's still an aspect to Mars, is what I mean.
Right.
Yeah.
It doesn't move into Taurus while.
No. Jupiter moves into Taurus in like May, I think. If I'm not mistaken.
Oh, yeah. Maybe okay. May 17th. Great. Yeah.
Oh, that's the end of my honeycomb ephemeris. I don't have next May because this goes to my birthday this year. So.
I'm like, what? Does the world end?
The world's up. It's 2012 all over again.
No.
So yeah, that is Mars does get an aspect from Jupiter the whole time.
Yes.
So there is that saving grace.
It's fun. We will go square to Saturn.
Yes, it is. It starts trine Saturn, and then for like the last. Once it's direct,
after it's direct
shadow, Saturn will move into Pisces.
Yeah, it'll get like the aspect from Saturn, but it won't get to it won't square Saturn in like officially. It'll be in a square configuration to Saturn, but it won't be.
It's like very wide.
No, that's just better. I'm just thinking back to 2020 and that. Like, I knew, it's just so wild because I remember so vividly telling my family, it's going to get worse. Like, you guys think that this sucks. Like, I'm just letting you know it's going to get worse.
It's going to get worse.
And it, I was like, yeah, I know this is going to happen. And then it, like, literally happened. And I was like, this got really bad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, like, literally, it was like the sky was red the day the station happened.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
oh my god! I remember like that on
fire when the retro station happened.
And aren't there there's tons of fires happening right now.
Yeah, mm-hmm. and the smoke just blew in this past weekend here, and it got real smoky last weekend.
And we are getting the smoke now on the East Coast
from the Vancouver, like the BC area.
What? Whoa! I feel like I miss news when I'm not on Twitter. To be honest. Like, I feel like I'm missing a lot.
You know, the
of
queen
stuff
died,
happening.
Right?
Yeah, the queen.
I did go back on Twitter for that. I had to. Like,
all the memes have
hilarious.
Been so good.
Yeah.
Amazing.
Peak like, top tier memeing from the internet.
It's amazing. Yep, like, yeah. It was awesome.
I saw this TikTok that was crazy, and this girl was talking about like all the things that are like closing on the day the queen gets buried, and I was like, yes, her majesty, but like
like your relax,
your doctor's appointment can still happen.
Yeah, you still need to go to the doctor.
I don't get that. I don't understand.
We're a nation in mourning. She was 96.
She was
like, what did you expect?
Like,
she didn't tragically pass.
She died of old.
She died of old.
How did she die? Of old.
She was old.
Oh my gosh. R.I.P. Diana.
That's right.
Forever, exactly.
That was a tragedy.
Truly. Damn. What an interesting family.
Well, so we can see that Mars and Gemini has already created quite a stir. We you know, killed the queen.
Wait, didn't she die the day Mars went into shadow?
No, I don't think.
I know it was Moon Saturn and Aquarius is the day that she died, which I just think is so funny. Like,
where are we at? Where's the moon today? In Gemini, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So that wasn't long ago. Wow, it felt like she died forever ago. But it, no, was, it like was last week. Was it earlier? No, it was last week.
It was
week.
Like 3 days ago.
Okay,
it was, no, not, it was 3 days ago.
A week ago.
It was September 9th? September 10th? September.
I think it was the 9th.
The 9th.
Maybe it was when Mars, because I thought Mars went to shadow on September 8th. Or no, it just went into shadow at 8 degrees. So I just remembered. That's all I remember.
Oh, no, it was the 8th. It was Thursday.
She died on the 8th.
Oh, yeah, because I was day drinking with my friend, and she was like, the queen died. And I was like, you're joking. I was like, plastered at 3 p.m. I was like, you're kidding.
The sound clips on TikTok of like house music, and then it's like, we interrupt this broadcast to bring you this breaking news. That the queen
has died. Is playing. Yeah.
And it just like goes right back into it.
The queen is dead.
Yeah. BBC Radio interrupts this regular scheduled broadcast to bring you this important news. About, like, Queen Elizabeth II has died at age 96. Back to the music.
Like Mars and Gemini, like a chaos. Political figure, like the political figure dying. Like, come on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Their life getting cut off.
And it being the like talk of the town.
Mars severs.
Truly.
Mars severs and separates.
And we're getting, you know, we're also in a square to the sun right now. So like hard aspect to the planet that represents the sovereign from that Mars.
Oh, true.
Yeah.
Which is why I am feeling so great about the Sagittarius season. Yeah.
Yeah. Ooh. Yeah. Oh, and sorry, go ahead.
Over.
No, you didn't.
Oh, her? The opposition?
You called the last Sun-Saturn opposition and people being like, oh, granted, I was on one article that was like, Biden, should you keep going? And I was like, oh my God! That was enough. Like, that's enough. Yeah. It's just like a little chitter-chatter. You know what I mean? And that's all it takes.
It only takes one match to start a fire, baby.
It's true. That's true. That's, I mean, it's like,
and that's fires. That's very Mars and Gemini. It's like one little match striking, and then it multiplies and multiplies and multiplies and multiplies. Because that's kind of, you know, the way I kind of see the difference between Gemini and Virgo is like, Gemini multiplies kind of in an upward direction because it's air, whereas Virgo like divides down into, so like,
which
splits in half, splits in, and then, you know, kind of that mitosis, like one becomes two becomes four becomes eight, like that's the Virgo principle, whereas like the other direction of like making it multiply up.
I have been thinking a lot about the Gemini Sag axis now with the assigning the exaltation of the nodes and your description of like Gemini, like multiplying up and out is so like Rahu, whereas like Mercury's exaltation in Virgo is like Mercury like divides and moves more like laterally, where Rahu is totally just like, I want it all.
Yeah.
Up and out. Interesting. Air you can't pin down. I definitely think Gemini is the most like uncontrollable of the mutable signs. Granted, I think we're all a little unhinged, but like there's how can you put that air that like you cannot, that's always going to like change form and
air is going to fill the space of the container it's in.
Yeah, and like no whereas, container. And I think about like the rulers of the signs with like fixed air being Saturn, like okay, it's still air and it still is, you know, intangible, and Libra, which is Venusian, and it's still air, but it's more about like how you feel and experience and sense things. But then with like Mercury kind of adding to that like level of mutability that you get with it already being a mutable sign, like Mercury is kind of this naturally mutable planet that's always changing phases and appearing and disappearing. And you put that with air, which is kind of this like mutable element. It's just a very, very mutable space.
There's lots of room.
Accommodating.
And the air will fill the space of the container.
It's true. Yeah. Hard to keep up with. Yeah. And I definitely feel like that's like, I just feel like the fights and the anger and like the arguments are like, will be difficult to keep up with. And it's like, I don't know. I feel like this is very much like, if anybody out there is on a debate team, I don't know. This would be a cool time for, really get into your things. I have no idea.
I think about the difference between like, so we had the last Mercury or the last Mars retrograde was in Aries, right? And so we had the last one, which felt very much like everybody was focused on the same thing, because that's like what Aries does, is it's noticed and it's pushed forward and it stood out and everybody, like it was undeniable. And it seems like, and it was undeniable that like, oh, the fire is there and we can all see it. Whereas with the Gemini, it feels like a little bit more like the fire is everywhere. Like it's, and it maybe isn't as, it isn't as big. It's maybe not as roaring as the Aries fire was, but it is widespread.
It's covering much more space than,
And so it becomes harder to fight in that aspect. Maybe easier to dodge. Maybe you can jump it a little bit easier than you could jump the Aries fire. But it's harder to put out because it's just so dispersed. Which dispersion is like the whole theme of like the Jupiter-Saturn conjunction in Aquarius and like the whole air kind of era that we
getting are it out moving there.
Toward. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And air is the element that naturally feeds that fire, I think, is much like, so there is this, I don't want to say like back and forth with Mars and Gemini, but like in mutable signs, there is always like both sides to the coin have to be recognized. So I feel like there is this like, it's going to vacillate between like very concentrated large fires to like widespread, like this idea of the area being covered, but whether it is just all kind of covered or there are certain spots that are like very covered. And the vacillation back and forth between
and this all begins with the retrograde station,
the what phase season,
the achronicle phase, according to Demetra George. I read it in the Bible.
Our sovereign.
I'll put my thesaurus down now. So we have the retrograde phase beginning October 30th. What are your thoughts?
Of the start.
Like what happens at the start of a retrograde?
you know, everything comes to a halt.
A grinding halt.
Grinding is a good word.
When Missy Elliott says, put that thing down, flip it, and reverse it.
Yeah.
That.
Yeah. We've got to put that thing down, flip it, and reverse it.
And reverse it. Correct. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And it's happening in the middle of the second pair of eclipses, which is what I don't like about it.
Hmm.
Like retrograde stations, like, yes, they're allowed, but this one is also happening a few days after the solar eclipse in Scorpio.
A Mars ruled eclipse that Mars is averse to. So it's like something happening in Mars's house that Mars can't see. And Mars is like about to come into Cancer, where it could see what's going on in the Scorpio house, but mm-hmm. something is calling Mars's attention back to the beginning of Gemini.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's better that Mars doesn't know what's going on in Scorpio yet.
Like, yeah. It's like seeing the light at the end of the tunnel.
But like a shrouded light.
Bag. Yeah. Yeah. Damn.
It's like seeing something like spooky in the woods and just being like, nope, going the other way. Not doing it.
Let's do this instead. That's funny.
So there could be like some sort of like about face and turn toward safety, because like if we are heading toward, like if Mars is heading toward an aspect with an eclipse, you know, doing an about face and turning away from that, like, I mean, literally we talk about like the baleful rays and like shielding your eyes from the baleful rays.
Yeah.
And like, that's kind of what Mars is doing, is being like, I pretend not to see it.
I do not see it.
Good for Mars.
Yeah. Good for Mars, bad for us.
True. Very true. Very true. Shit.
Yeah. And I really think that's like the thing about a Mars retrograde, is that Mars gets as close to us as it will get in its orbit, in our orbit, and gets bright, very, very bright in the sky. And so it's just like you have closeness and brightness giving you, it's good for Mars. Like, it's Mars, things are intense right now. It's just like more and more Mars.
It's quite amazing in a weird way. It's not. Okay, actually, I meant it more, so like visually speaking, not necessarily like what actually happens in our lives. Like, I just, we're talking about this in the pre-show chat. I just like remember and like think about like Venus and Mars making themselves so obvious, and like you just cannot miss them in the sky when they're stationing retrograde. And it's just so interesting. They're like right there, and I don't know, it's just so, it's beautiful, because they do get more prominent and loud in our lives, and like whether that's a good thing or a bad thing, it's really cool. I guess you can look at stuff and feel the planets, as uncomfortable as they may be sometimes.
You'll be able to start seeing Mars get brighter and brighter when he rises. Which, depending on your location, is probably like midnight, but you'll see that bright red fiery ball in the sky.
Love it.
We love.
Yep. Mars is a looker.
I mean, you're not wrong.
I'm hollering.
He's hot for a reason. Okay.
Yeah. Like,
it's true.
And speaking of hot, this is the phase, this first half of the retrograde phase between the retrograde station and the opposition with the sun is, Abu Marshar describes it as the hot phase. So this is like hot Mars.
That's cute.
Hotter Mars.
Oh, I wonder if Sphere and Sundry is going to release. I mean, it doesn't really make. I mean, I know they're on Taurus series. This series should be the next one that they release. And I know it's like not necessarily related to Mars retrograde in Gemini, but like, I just think about that. And I'm like, I wonder. But then I'm also like, if that does happen, maybe you should not do that right now. But I'm also like, why don't we just test it out? With okay, the last I'll find out. No, it's actually really, it's a really bad idea. Now that I think about it, now that I think about everything that has happened in my life, and do not start a Mars practice when Mars is going to station retrograde. Do not do that. Don't do it. Bad idea. Bad. Run.
I think I've told this story before, but the day that Mars ingressed into Aries in 2020, I tried to start a workout routine and literally passed out and had to call an ambulance.
No.
Yeah, like, because I was living in Houston and it was like 110 and I was like in the loft and like trying to do calisthenics and like literally just got overheated and passed out. It was like, I'm gonna do like something for Mars, active.
Horrible.
I should have just like, I don't know. I don't know.
I honestly don't know. I feel like if anything, you
taking
just
a hot
do
shower.
Yeah, like, yeah. Shower. That would have been cute.
With Mars and Gemini, you just want to talk all that shit.
Yeah.
Speak ill of others.
That sounds fun. Yeah. This is the write the letter to the people you hate and burn it type
and
shit.
Burn it. Yeah. Absolutely.
It actually sounds really fun.
Or send it.
Good luck. Good fucking luck. You're going to be dealing with that shit for a long time, right at this point. Hilarious. Yeah.
Starts retro around Halloween. We get that new moon in Sag on the 22nd. Very, very early Sag in a loose opposition. Doesn't look terrible. Jupiter will be back in domicile by this point. Sorry, Deja. My condolences.
I feel so bad. I feel so bad. But I don't. But I feel bad.
You don't have to feel bad. I'm excited for it because I feel like, for me, this mitigates this Mars transit by a lot. Of an otherwise, in my chart, kind of unmitigated. Like, it's averse to everything except for my Pisces stuff.
Oh, right. I forgot. So, that is your...
Getting an aspect from Jupiter is helpful for this transit.
Mm.
Especially because Pisces is my perfected house, so...
That'll be nice and cute.
Yeah, I like the Jupiter in Pisces for the Mars in Gemini. I don't really like it for anything else, though. Wow, and then he just swings back through Aries.
Yeah, just like literally is in Aries for about 30 seconds. And then...
That's all I can handle, TBH. I don't think I could have done any more.
At that point, though, eclipses will be over, thankfully. The second eclipse is November 8th.
Hmm.
So after that, we get... That's the first hurdle. The new moon.
Sorry, the moon is in Gemini today, and I'm sorry, I just realized the moon's in Gemini, and I write a forecast for this person who has like I do it every month. It's pretty cool, actually, but anyway, I forget, I mentioned this, I was like, Mars retrograde is coming up, the moon will be in Gemini, maybe you get a little bit of a little peek, just a little bit of a little light to it. And it's so cute because today we're talking about Mars retrograde and the moon is a Gemini. And it's so fun.
And we're just like getting the peek into what it's like.
There was the literal manifestation of your
America. That's really cute, actually. All right. Well, shit. Wild. Interesting. So then I wonder, now I'm thinking like everything that's going on to talk about myself. Everything that's going on with me right now. And I'm just like, this is hilarious because honestly, truthfully, holy shit. Okay, I have to talk about this. I'm so sorry.
No, this is what this is for.
Go, girl, go.
Sometimes I like to pull tarot cards to like for big transits that are coming up. And sometimes it's like, usually last year was more so like this, like, where am I at the beginning of Virgo season? Where am I at the end? How am I going to get there? Cutesy dootsy, whatever. I haven't done it in a long ass time, but I did it for Mars retrograde. And where am I at the end? I got, Also, another thing, another caveat, I am a baby tarot person, so I'm just reading bitty tarot. And I haven't formed a personal relationship with 78 cards yet. I'm getting there. So I got, where am I going to end up? And I got Knight of Wands. And something that Biddy Tarot says was like a change in location or something like that. And I was like, interesting. And I was like, I do want to move. And I'm in New York this weekend. And I said this earlier, but every single time I come to New York, I want to move here so bad. And I'm just like, holy shit. This is also like my Mercury retrograde story. And Mercury was my third. I really love New York, but Saturn gets closer to my ascendant when I move here, if I'm still at 8 degrees. So I'm like, so I was talking to Zach Powell, and he was like, you're going to be working a lot. And I was like, I know that. I would have to. It's New York. But like at the same time, maybe I would get closer to my dreams because like Saturn rules my 11th. So like maybe I'll like, yeah, it'll suck, but I'll finally have it, you know? I don't know. Some thoughts, many thoughts I'm having. Shit. Fuck. Wow. I really want to move to New York. Sorry. That's it. That's all I wanted to say.
I love it.
So everyone, look back. Friday, September 16th. What were you doing then? Because this will be released some other day.
I was tweeting about how Twitter has mommy energy, mommy blogger energy lately. Astro socials have mommy blogger energy. They do. Everybody's like, I'm so proud of my for everything that they do. And, you know, they're.
It's bad. It's really annoying. It's really fucking annoying. Get a life. I'm sorry. Please get a life. Like, what the hell?
Yeah. It's, you know, sometimes I'm excited for people who maybe haven't been able in their life to hold attention for very long from people, get the opportunity to have attention held on them. I'll just stop talking there and just say end my thought.
End of thought.
It's really obvious. It's obvious.
Is it?
For the ones who haven't had the attention held on them for a long period of time.
Yeah.
It's obvious. Yeah. And you know, I'm glad that everybody's getting their moment to shine. Some of us need to more than others.
Because I think it could be. I think it really could be. I don't mind. Because you know what? I think someone has to say it. Someone has to say it. And it might as well be triplicity. Like, that's come right. on. It's fine. And I also think people need to, this is going to sound very, maybe, I don't know what the hell this is going to sound like, but this may be annoying. And it probably is. I think sometimes people need to grow up. Like, I think sometimes people are kind of really annoying online and everybody thinks that they own everything and this is my fun. And literally, grow up. Like, go make friends IRL, please, because then you'll realize that this, like, barely matters. It barely matters. You're on the internet. Like, you're on the internet. Go to the grocery store.
Go piss, girl.
Yeah.
I don't understand. I don't get it. Like, I'm like, these people are adults. Like, it's not just a kid. Because you'd think it's like Gen Z being ridiculous on the internet. No, we're having a fucking blast. And we don't give a shit. Like, it's fucking adults who are like,
I'll claim it as millennials that are that way. They're like, literally millennials on the internet. And you know, it's that, like, millennials as a generation are starting to realize that, like, culture's not made for us anymore. And so it's like, you know, if you're not willing to accept that, like, hey, culture's not for you anymore, like, but to your point, Deja, grow the fuck up. Like, culture doesn't always have to be for you. Like, it should be for other people as time progresses.
Oh man. It's hilarious. It's really funny to witness.
Grow up.
That's like a part of the t-shirt series.
Grow Triplicit up. T-shirt series.
Triplicit t-shirt?
That's so cute. Yes. 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 Major yes.
Yes. Yes.
Grow up.
Grow up. Grow the no, grow the fuck up. With just Saturn in the background and he's like
yelling. I'm yelling. So interesting. So interesting.
So this is where I think are we ready to talk about this, like the next part of the match?
Yeah, I guess. Let's keep going. Let's go. Work.
I really think that the next part, which is the first hard aspect to Mars that happens, like that completes, is an opposition with Mercury, which I think is really interesting, aside from the moon, because obviously the moon be doing her thing.
She is that girl, yeah.
Like, she's just flying through the zodiac. But the first hard aspect that we get to a planet is an opposition with Mercury. The first aspect we get to a planet is a trine from Saturn. And these happen like on the same day, November 29th. I just think this is like an interesting configuration. Because the sun is also in Sag at this time. I mentioned this in the pre-show chat. This looks like not great for a sovereign, like not good news if you're a leader of something, like of bad news. World. Yeah, maybe.
Maybe, just maybe.
Yeah, like maybe bad news, and it's like becoming public as well, right? Because we have this like visible Mars, and Mercury should be emerging from the beams around then as well. So, like, you know, there could be bad news.
No pressure, though.
Yelling. We'll just have to wait and see.
That's all we can do.
The time that looks as if there were going to be any bad news surrounding that topic, hypothetically speaking, I am like not liking, but like the full moon in Gemini with Mars retrograde looks just really revealing of something that was kept in the dark maybe for a while.
That full moon is conjunct Mars.
Really?
Oh, really?
Conjunct.
Oh, Mars. Fuck.
Like,
it's in the middle of curtailed passage, so Mars is like basically exactly opposite the sun at this point.
Wow. Yeah.
Well, like, that's gonna be a cool moon to look at.
Yeah.
Not fun in our lives, though. Damn.
Because
we had a nice, easy Gemini full moon last year, right after everything was so horrible after the eclipses, and now this one again is just.
Just
un-comfy.
Not.
Yeah, so because damn. On the 7th, which is the day of the full moon, at midnight, the sun is at 15 and Mars is at 16. And then the next day, the sun's at 16 and Mars is like earlier at 16. So like we get the opposition with the sun, and that's the same day of the full moon. So literally same degree is when we get the full moon.
Wow.
That's going to be an intense full moon in Gemini.
Yeah.
Oof.
Yeah.
Be careful, people.
Conjunct. Please.
Oh my gosh. This is a conjunct. Oh, shit.
Like,
damn, people are going to be mad. These
kind of wide orbs in general in my practice. This one is not. It is.
Holy shit. People are going to be mad. Damn.
Yeah.
Well.
And it's at a time when Mars, and John, you made mention to this, is like the curtailed passage. So Mars is within so many degrees of its opposition to the sun that we won't get to see Mars touch the horizon. Like, we won't see it rise up from under the earth in the morning, and we won't see it go down below the horizon in the evening. The only time Mars will be visible is at night in the sky. Mars is unable to make contact with Earth. And so it's like but Mars, this is also when it is closest and brightest.
Interesting.
I am just now thinking about that. Literally this morning, I heard on the news that I'm going to like jumble this information, but the date is correct. I think it was like the person they appointed who's like in charge of the Mar-a-Lago like search. Mm. They would like the search to be done by the beginning of December.
Hmm.
Interesting.
And this full moon is the opposite of the Orange Man's natal full moon.
Interesting.
Hmm.
Interesting.
So that's also, and he was a sovereign, and to many still is.
Hmm. Yeah. True.
Interesting.
So that will be interesting as well.
Yeah. So I really see like that curtail passage, the December 3rd through December 13th, that's when Mars is like within 7.5 degrees of the opposition with the sun. To me, like that's the most intense part of the whole retrograde. But then it's, and normally that would be the most intense part of like any outer planet retrograde. But then to have the full moon happening like in the middle of it at the opposition to the sun, like, because obviously if it's a full moon conjunct Mars, it's the sun exactly opposite Mars. So we're having that at the same time.
The lunar sphere is that which is closest to us. So she brings things into our reality very easily.
Hilarious.
This is gonna be so fun.
Yeah.
It's gonna be a party.
You know, Deja, like you said though, I've lived through
worse. So
opulence.
How much worse? I mean things can get worse 100%, but like,
okay, we're back.
It's going.
So many technical difficulties this episode.
It's almost like we're recording under a Mercury retrograde.
Almost.
Almost. So after that full moon, you know, on the 13th, it comes out of the curtail passage. We start seeing it again touch the horizon. And we are in the evening phase at that point of Mars. And so we've, you know, transitioned phase, and now we have an evening Mars.
Evening Mars. No, now we have morning Mars.
No.
Mars is currently 10th from the sun.
Don't. I can't. I hate that.
You'll be able to see Mars. So for Mars will be in Gemini and the sun will be in Capricorn. Therefore, Mars will be sixth from the sun when it stations direct.
Direct.
Right. And so the horizon that we will see Mars touch is the western horizon. And Mars will be an evening.
Wait, stop. Let me think about this. I have to think about, like, I have to actually, like, see a chart in my brain.
Because when Mars rises, the sun will be in the eighth house. The sun will be in the sky.
Oh, right. Gemini rising has Capricorn eighth.
Right? Correct. Yeah. Yes, we do.
Yeah. So when when the sun is in the eighth house, evening. Mars is rising.
It's setting.
And then the sun sets and we see Mars. It. So it has to do with which... It has to do with which horizon we can observe the planet touching
from. But that isn't that the east then?
Yeah, we'll see Mars rise.
Yeah, and that's on the east. They rise in the east.
We will not see Mars set.
No.
Why is Mars in Capricorn in this chart?
That's
okay. Good. This is 2022 because I'm an idiot.
You're looking at February.
I'm yelling.
Okay. There, Eastern Mars. Because Mars is in Gemini. Mars is in the Western horizon.
Okay, yeah, we will
see Mars. So it's flipped?
Yeah, so we will see Mars set. Yeah. Yes, no, because
Mars is 10th from the sun.
We'll just go with that. Perfect. We're done. Amazing. Mars is 10th from the sun, everyone.
I'm sorry. We all of us today have really, really struggled with the concept of like Eastern or Western. We're really all of us struggling with that concept today.
Yes.
Wait, but really, which is it?
Currently, what? Mars is morning star.
Currently, and Mars Eastern is morning star.
Which is and east. The,
yes. Which is Eastern east. Rising. Yes.
But then that, what we just looked at,
is when
Mars
Western.
Is facing direct.
So Mars is, yes. And it will yes. change at the curtailed passage is when it changes direction. Yes.
Okay.
And and that's because we see Mars touch the Eastern horizon, come out from under the Eastern horizon right now. Mm-hmm. So mm-hmm. that's where we observe Mars. During mm-hmm. the curtailed passage, we stop seeing Mars touch the horizon at all. And then after the curtailed, exactly, right. It's too bright during sunrise and sunset to see it touch the horizon. After the curtailed passage, we start to see Mars make contact with the Western horizon.
With the Western horizon, yes.
Oh, after.
Mm-hmm. After the opposition. So after the full moon is when we start to observe this change in Mars phase.
Over yonder, you were just there. What if people are so funny? I watched Ted Lasso, and it's just so fucking funny. Like the way they curse, they're like slang. It's just so funny.
It's a bit mingy.
I don't know where they get it from. It's hilarious because they're so rude and evil. And I think that's what makes it so funny. You know, I think that's.
You heard it here first. All British
people are rude and evil.
They're evil.
This is what gets us canceled.
I'm yelling.
The queen is
rolling. Have some respect. The queen just died.
Yeah. Sorry. Sorry, Miss Queen.
Sorry, Miss Queen. Sorry, Miss Lizzie. R.I.P.
I'm screaming.
My favorite meme to come out of this has been the theory that the queen is now Trisha Paytas's baby.
That's the best.
Whose name is Malibu Barbie. Which I'm not mad at. I was talking to my friends about. And like,
no, I kinda
Malibu's
love.
Actually kind of a cute name.
Yeah.
It is cute. I like it.
Right. And it's very Trisha. And it just like that baby's name could have been a lot worse.
Yes. It could have been like quesadilla Michelangelo. Like,
right.
And it wasn't, thankfully.
These poor children. They don't deserve this.
Michelangelo.
Drag name, quesadilla Michelangelo.
Literally. Oh my god.
Are there any other thoughts on Mars retrograde?
I mean, direct station happens in January. So like after you have that, like it seems like the beginning of December is obviously like
the hot spot.
The hot spot. And so it's like you have build up through November, and then it's like the beginning of December, things get crazy. And then we see the end of that story until January 12th when we have the direct station.
Oh, there is a Mercury retrograde, another Mercury retrograde in here at some point.
Oh yeah,
where both Mars and Mercury will be retrograde.
Mm-hmm. Fuck, averse to each
and
other.
Averse,
December
yeah.
December 29th, Mercury stations retro.
Fuck.
And January 18th, it stations direct like a week or so after Mars does.
Mm-hmm. When does Mars station direct again? In January?
January 12th.
12th, yeah.
At 8:08.
Angel number.
Angel numbers. Portal.
I'm yelling.
And then it's his best album, 808s and Heartbreak.
I have to agree with you there.
Yeah.
Actually, I don't know if I want to. I don't know.
Oh, no, just kidding.
My Beautiful Divine Twisted. Yeah.
My Beautiful Dark Twisted Fantasy is number one. 808s and Heartbreak is number two.
Amazing. Yeah.
Money doesn't buy your class.
Okay, Countess. Go on.
That's what I mean. Okay.
And then Mars moves out of shadow. Wait, okay, Mars stations direct on January 12th. It leaves shadow March 16th. So it still has to traverse that 22 degrees of Gemini and then leave Cancer on March 26th. Mars will finally leave. Mars is in Gemini until the sun is in Aries, basically.
Mars is in Gemini until Saturn is in Pisces.
Yeah.
So we did like... Yeah.
We just started the ride, baby.
Fuck. Just fuck. Just
yeah. Saturn enters Pisces before Mars leaves Gemini. So
I'm so ready for that.
Remember that.
So I forget who tweeted it, but someone was like, "Can triplicity plod please stop mentioning when Saturn enters Pisces?" And the answer is no.
Definitely
the answer's
not.
No.
I'm very happy. Three of our
Saturnian asses are going to be talking about Saturn.
We have to. It's required.
Legally, I have to. Yeah. Come on.
So planetary charity. Just a mention every now and then. I don't know if he likes that, though. He'll be fine.
Reminding.
He just doesn't ever like.
We're reminding other people of him. I think he appreciates that.
That's true.
Yeah.
Don't forget about me. I'm here.
I'm still here.
I'm not dead yet.
I look pretty good for a dead bitch. Good luck to you all out there.
Yeah.
Please don't start any fucking stupid fights on the internet, even though you're gonna just like try
people
not
will.
To.
They will.
They will.
Yeah. This is a great opportunity for everybody to make Shut sure you up. Cull your Twitter circle, right? Like
yeah,
don't
really
put people who you
that.
Don't need in your Twitter circle out of your Twitter circle.
Yeah.
Twitter giving everyone Twitter circle like right as Mars was entering Gemini was like the chaos we needed.
Truly.
Yeah. They said like that. I just imagine like something happens with Twitter and all of our circle protected tweets are suddenly visible to everybody.
That would be horrible. Oh my God. No, I can't do it. Twitter's too much. It's too much. It's just too angry. I can't.
I feel like I scroll Twitter so much, but I never read it. It's just like all I want to do is just see little squiggles fly by. Doesn't mean anything.
Little squiggles flying by. It's funny.
Any closing thoughts?
Nah.
We said it all.
Yeah,
we did. We really did.
Do we have any like remedial tips for like if you need to remediate this, like if it's hitting your chart pretty in a difficult way?
True.
You can donate to Mars things. So anything that like helps veterans. Anything that helps victims of domestic violence, whatever house Mars rules in your chart, you can donate to that area of your life. I wouldn't say
Deja pays herself.
Deja pays herself. I would not focus on the Gemini part of your chart. I would focus on like the actual Mars part. Because activating Gemini is only going to activate Mars.
Yeah, and I think my remedial tip is that you don't need to call in more Mars to remediate Mars. Like the way that you should be remediating Mars is very much a like it's okay to chill, bro. like that's it's not you don't need to like remediate it in a way that like gets it
energizes
going.
It. Yeah.
You need to remediate it in a way that calms it down. Venus can be helpful for that. Saturn can be helpful for that. Venus is especially helpful for that, though. So,
yeah.
The way that I started my Mars practice was through my Venus practice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
We all end up on our knees doing that practice eventually. A Mars Venus practice? I mean,
wait a minute.
You heard me right. Am I wrong, though?
No.
No.
Definitely not.
I'm screaming. Me just reciting the Orphic Hymn to Venus.
Yelling. I'm yelling. No, definitely do Venus stuff. Venus stuff is definitely the best stuff. Don't do Mars stuff.
Yeah, and doing Venus stuff for Mars people can be like good remediation.
It's true.
So find your Mars people, do Venus stuff for them.
Mm-hmm. Find me. A Mars person.
Give us gifts.
Come see my presentation on October 22nd about
things
I learned in Jyotish that have helped my Hellenistic.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I think Kazemi Khan with a Venus Kazemi and Venus's sign is like an example of like a way that can kind of like, right? Because we're doing a Gemini thing with that, but we're appealing to Venus as we do it to kind of remediate the Mars.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hmm. Yeah, my only Mars remediation recommendations is Venus. And then everything about donating and helping people out, helping out the Mars people, for sure. But that's it. Otherwise, it's just making it worse, IMO. Yeah. And I don't think he's somebody that you don't make it worse. I don't know. Unless you have a great relationship with Mars and you can be like, hey, can you relax a little bit? But I still feel like you'll probably approach with Venus. And be like,
yeah,
here's some candy. You want to relax for a second? You want to take a chill pill?
I got you this tasty beverage. Like...
Here's some weed.
Yeah, I rolled this for you.
literally.
And you know, it's like it's an air sign. Like
I always smoke. Every time I smoke a bowl, I'm like, Mars, for you, baby.
I love it.
Stay safe out there, kids.
Truly. Yeah.
Bye. Bye-bye. I didn't go to fucking school for math.